I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. We've all heard that mortgage interest rates have started to rise, but I'm not here to scare you like those other banks and mortgage companies. I'm still locking loans in, saving people thousands of dollars a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com.
The Home Loan Expert, LLC.
This is a Roundtable Rewind.
Poor Nova looked good.
Best team in college basketball, won a national championship, and we can get more into Jay Wright and, you know, how he's assembled this team and this five-year run that we kind of touched on yesterday. But when Michigan got up to their biggest lead, 7, it wasn't enough. Villanova looked that bad offensively. And, you know, the thing that bothers me about Mo Wagner, I mean, as good as this guy is, how do you need a breather this early?
In the national championship game, right?
Yeah, and then it's just been one of the things that's hampered him throughout the year. I mean, he doesn't really have a weakness to his game. But a guy in the national championship that's holding up fist 6-7 minutes into the game, when that's when Villanova was really turning the momentum, I just don't get that.
Yeah, I was a little surprised at that. I mean, you didn't see it on TV at first, and I think Grant Hill was the one that mentioned it. He's like, wow, Mo Wagner is asking out of the game. You know, he's holding up double fist. He's ready to get out. And I was like, man, this thing has barely even started.
Well, I went back and looked at it. I mean, he is by far their best player. You guys would give me that, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yep. He could be on my team any day of the week.
What do you think he averaged minute-wise?
He played so much in the semifinals.
Yeah, I'm just talking about for the entire year, the entirety of the year, including the NCAA tournament.
I think he averaged 27 minutes.
Dead on.
Is it really?
Wow, that's very good.
Well, I mean, he's a 6'11 guy. That's what I would expect to get out of him.
Just not enough.
I think he went way over that in the semifinal game because that was their path to beating them was through him.
Well, and he had 33 minutes last night, even with the breathers. But, you know, you look at guys like DeAndre Ayton, a freshman. What do you think he did minute-wise?
DeAndre Ayton, a bigger guy at 6'11", I'd go less than the 27. I'd probably go 23.
He's 33.
33?
And Marvin Bagley, 33. Hey, look, you got to put some minutes in.
That's a lot of minutes. I mean, you're only on the bench 7 minutes at that point.
He was a guy, though, that's such a ball of energy, Wagner is.
Well, he's all over the court now. He plays sideline to sideline, yeah.
Diving into the scorer's stand. And I think he's one of those guys that seems to me like Bagley seems to be as cool as the other side of the pillow. Wagner seems to be the kind of guy that is bouncing around in the pregame locker room. He seems like he can't sit still, even when he's on the bench.
He's wired up.
A lot of energy.
And he had some opportunities. I mean, there were some mismatches, and they were calling it out. You've got a mismatch right now in the paint, and they just actually couldn't get the ball to him. And, you know, when he hits the first shot of the second half and they cut it to 7, you still didn't feel like Michigan was going to do anything. You just knew that Villanova was going to get this thing rolling in the right direction. And when you've got, I don't want to say the best player in basketball, but what was viewed as your MVP this year, and your Wooden and your AP best player of the year, and Jalen Brunson, I mean, he went 4-13, 1-5 behind the arc for 9 points, and this was just a complete beatdown.
DiVincenzo.
Very good, Jim.
DiVincenzo was a red shirt at one point, set out in 2016, doesn't even start, and he comes off the bench to light him up for 31. Nova only had 2 players in double figures.
You know, this DiVincenzo guy, it's crazy because you look at him and you don't necessarily see great. I mean, we ran into a guy at lunch that is a local basketball coach. The three of us had lunch together yesterday, and he was talking about how Jay Wright changed his recruiting strategy. He used to go get the best players. Then he just said, screw that, I'm going to go get the best fits, right? And I joked about DiVincenzo, and Lance, you quickly said, man, he's a more athletic guy than you give him credit for.
I mean, nobody really realized this until the NCAA tournament. If you watched him in the regular season, and he was a 6 guy coming off the bench, but he's 6'5", and you look at a white redhead dude, and you're like, this guy didn't have any athleticism. I mean, and you look at how explosive he is to the basket. You look at the block shots last night. He doesn't have a weakness in his game.
Rockstar, is he a ginger? DiVincenzo, I know he's Italian, so you normally don't go Italian gingers.
I don't know who you're talking about.
The white kid that made all the shots for Villanova last night.
Rockstar,
you didn't watch the game?
Not one drop of it.
I had a rehearsal last night.
Are you in black jacket again?
It's kind of like it, yes.
Oh, wow. We got a spin-off black jacket. It's gray jacket.
Yeah.
White jacket.
Rockstar is a ginger.
It looked like it was a good game.
No, it was not.
He doesn't look like a rock star, though. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, he's a different ginger look.
An Italian ginger. I just don't know that exists. That's just kind of a weird mix.
But when you look at him, you know, sitting from the couch, he doesn't look 6'5". He looks more 6'2", 6'3".
That's what I was going to say. I think that's what surprises people is that he's 6'5".
Our new producer Jacob's got red hair, right?
He does, yes.
I see him correct. Every morning. But
that's correct, Jim.
You guys know I don't notice names, details, or anything.
Jim doesn't see color.
Yeah, so he's got a red hair, right? Jacob, I'd love to see the greatest redheaded, the ginger, as you're saying, athletes.
Well, I was going to ask if this is the
one. Ryan Scalabrine?
Is this the best ginger we're ever going to see?
Still does Celtics games, by the way.
Yeah. Scalabrine, yeah.
I mean, part of the Celtics.
DiVincenzo's better than Scalabrine.
Andy Dalton. Well, DiVincenzo, I mean, let's see what happens. He should be in the starting lineup next year.
This is what I was getting
he
at.
He should be.
This is what I was getting at.
They asked him that last night, by the way. So do you think you'll be in the starting lineup next year? Well, I hope so. You have to ask Coach.
I was reading Pete Thamel this morning from San Antonio for Yahoo Sports, and he actually reached out to some NBA scouts during the game last night and said, give me your honest opinion of DiVincenzo. He talked to three scouts. Two of them said, end of the first round. Other one said, I think he's a second round guy.
He'll play in the NBA.
I know. So that's the thing. You don't look at him and think he'd be a player.
I would have said second round, but he's got all the skills again, and I think he can work his way up to the latter part of the first round, depending on how things go. Watching Wagner again in the first 10 minutes of that game, this is a guy that could have played himself into the lottery.
Way too early. Top 25 is out from ESPN. First, so are the betting odds to win the national championship next year. Duke's your favorite with that unbelievable, some are saying maybe the best recruiting class ever coming in, 5-1 betting odds. Villanova, who has a lot of these guys back, they roll in 8-1 with Kentucky and Kansas.
I don't know. Look, Mikal Bridges is going to be gone to the NBA, but if Jalen Brunson comes back, yeah. I don't know how they're not your favorite.
Well, Duke's got that class, but Villanova...
But again, that's
class still, of basketball.
You know, Duke does have those three guys coming in, Dunaway, and all three of those guys are projected lottery guys, but you don't know how they play once they get in together, and
that's
they still are true freshmen. I would have more stock, or I would put much more stock into Villanova, and especially a guy like Jalen Brunson that's looking for three Final Fours in 4 years.
Listen, West Virginia is going to win a national championship someday, I think, under Bob Huggins. Maybe they at least are in the mix every year. UCLA has won them before, and they've been there recently. That's the same line Auburn is on to win the national championship. To not the Final Four, to win the national championship. Auburn's 30-1 to be national champions next year. Hello, Auburn.
I think this tells you, a lot of people think Austin Wiley will not go to the NBA and come back, or at least people that are making these odds. Or Lance, they're at least hedging these odds just in case he does, because you can always adjust, right?
Yeah, I think that's the projection. When we get into this weight, too early top 25, I think it's reflective of the exact same thing you're saying and what Vegas is thinking right now, that Austin Wiley will return.
We don't have to go very far to get into this way too early top 25. Here we go, Auburn fans. Number one, way too early top 25. This is Myron Metcalf putting it together at ESPN.com. You can go roll around in it all morning long if you'd like. Kansas is one. Pretty good traditional basketball program.
Yeah, and look, I don't know if, again, we don't have a ton of confidence in Bill Self, but I don't know if Malik Newman's going to come back. And a lot of this does hinge on that. And the way he played, especially in the second half of the season and in the NCAA tournament, his stock is really high right now. So that's a big decision coming up for Kansas.
And Azubuki will return probably?
More than likely, still very raw. I mean, a guy that shot 78% from the field, but still has got to work on a lot of different things, including keeping, this is a guy that's got to get the minutes up, couldn't stay out of foul trouble. So more than likely, Azubuki will come back.
The previously mentioned Duke at 2, Villanova at 3, Kentucky's at 4. A lot of the guys he had this year, how many of not a ton of them are leaving, are they? At least
Gilgis
not yet.
Gilgis Alexander's got to come out.
Yeah, I mean, he's a top 15 pick easy, right?
I mean, I would have said a month and a half ago there's no chance he comes out, but he's another lottery prospect.
So Kansas, Duke, Villanova, Kentucky are top 4. They're probably there every year. Number 5, how do you pronounce it? Is it Auburn? Is that how you say this? Auburn is number 5?
Now this
way too
early. Levy calls it Auburn.
So Auburn is number 5 in the way too early preseason top 25 next year. How about that?
Yeah. So this is from ESPN, right?
Legitimate source.
That's what I'm saying. Look, again, I'll say if they just get Dangelo Purifoy back with that core they had this year that won the SEC regular season, I don't even care if Wiley comes back. If they get Purifoy back, that is a really, really, really solid basketball team. You add Wiley to that mix, and they do have an opportunity to be elite.
I agree. Look, if you can keep this thing taped together and those parts come back, then I think Auburn is legitimately a top 10 team. You could even make the argument, as they're doing right here, that they're a top 5 team. But I would ask you guys on the other side, let's say that Wiley doesn't come back, and let's say that something goes down, although Alan Green said Bruce Pearl will be the coach.
Yeah.
Let's say Bruce Pearl doesn't come back, no Wiley, how different is the
perception? All bets are off. Yeah. All bets are off.
They'll probably be projected 4-14 again at that point. Alan Green, who was on our show last week, they reference it in this story at ESPN.com. Bruce Pearl got that vote of confidence. Pure for Wiley. Those guys have options. Wiley does specifically. But so does Mustafa Heron. They point out in the story, he'll likely test the NBA waters, not get an agent, and can come back. We've seen that happen many, many times. But he is one of the key cogs that sort of makes the engine go there at Auburn. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on him. But Auburn, number 5 in the way too early top 25 and 30-1 odds right now in Las Vegas to win the national championship in basketball.
First down.
Of the 4 teams played and for the national championship in men's basketball and football, Georgia, Alabama, Villanova, Michigan, which has the least best chance to make it again next year?
Not even close. Look, I know Michigan won 14 consecutive games to get to the stage last night, but to me, Mo Wagner will not come back. I think he's on to the NBA after the way he's played the last couple of weeks, and I just don't think the talent is there.
So Michigan is your answer.
Oh, yeah.
It does seem easy. Now it does. Lance has said it.
I mean, this is going to be an amazing run for Villanova, though, Lance, if they do it again. I mean, think about what that run will be like. You just documented yesterday what they have done in a 5-year run. So make this year number 6 of that 5-year run. If they ran all the way back to the championship game, almost unprecedented.
Keep in mind, though, you got Alabama and Georgia in the same conference.
Yep.
And that's a rarity to get two in the playoffs at one time. So if you were, you know, playing the odds, you would take one of those, right? One of the SEC teams won't get to the championship again this year. Can't go back to back. But
I mean, what kind of odds would you get an Alabama Georgia national championship out of the same conference again?
A rematch. It would be pretty steep.
500-1.
But they don't play in the regular season, which opens that door, I guess, for them to have an unbeaten versus one loss or unbeaten versus unbeaten in the championship game, which could open the door for them both. The
committee would not allow it this year.
I would agree with you, LT. So I'm going to go Michigan, but, you know, there's a little bit that says one of the SEC teams.
Second down.
If you could be in Augusta and caddy for any participant in the Masters this year, not named Tiger, of course, but he's the obvious answer, who would you choose and why?
I need sleep, so I could say Jordan Spieth because he seems like such a bore. But I probably would go Bubba Watson just to see why he's really hated as much as he is.
It would be awful.
Then I could be really combative with him.
Yeah you would take a swing at him on hole 4.
No, I want to watch the galleries and how much people actually hate him and just how he just operates hole to hole.
I think I would go Phil. It's just so fun. I mean, you could be anywhere. You could be in the trees. You could be in the middle of the fairway. You know, I don't think you have to give a lot of input. I think he's got his mind made up. You just kind of confirm, let's play it that way. I think Phil would be fun.
You know, everyone always says that Phil's not a nice guy, but he always comes across as a nice guy on TV to me.
He plays it well, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's a great actor. Best supporting actor as a nice guy on the golf tour. I'll take Phil Mickelson. That's who I would go with. Though in my single day, it would have been Fred Couples. Because that guy's got game talking to the ladies.
Oh, we've seen it.
Fred's gotten old, man.
I know.
But yeah, but it does. Shooters are still shooting, my friend.
Yeah.
So in my single days, it would have been Fred Couples.
And I assume that Daly will not be in the field, right?
No, he's out signing autographs to the Hooters.
He's coming here, though, at Regions.
Third down.
All right, we're talking fans, proximity to the court, atmosphere, aesthetics. You guys have been to a lot of basketball venues in your careers. What's the best one you've ever watched a game at?
Well, I've been to fewer basketball than I have football. Well, yeah, I worked a couple of humble brag. I worked a couple of years in Lexington, Kentucky, and covered Rick Pitino there at Rupp Arena. That was my job, to travel around with the Big Blue Nation. And Rupp Arena for a big game is a very, very special place. I enjoy that a lot. And it's probably, you know, that, and I was there when, you know, I'm old enough. Bird was still playing for the Celtics. Jordan was playing for the Bulls at old Chicago Stadium. And I snuck into that for $10 in that game one time in Chicago. Those were two very special basketball venues, I think. But I would go Rupp Arena.
Yeah, I'm going to go NBA here. I'm going to go the old LA Forum.
I just had so much history and tradition, and just being able to watch the Lakers and, you know, how the fans would react, and it was just an awesome place.
You know, I have not been to many basketball arenas there, Bun, but one I actually enjoyed. It was not a very good game, but when we were out for Bama, Michigan State, we went to American Airlines to watch the Steph Curry sitting on the bench Golden State Warriors play the Mavs, and I thought that was a terrific arena. Yeah. I really like the setup.
Yeah, it's like an opera house.
Almost. Yeah, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's a really good basketball setup. I like the American Airlines Arena in Dallas.
I would not want to get out of the top of it in case of a fire, though.
Impossible. Yeah. It's a maze.
It's a lot of passages.
It does. It was very confusing, but it was a really cool arena. I like the way it was built.
I'm not the kind of guy who forgets where he parks his car, but a couple of times when I went to concessions, or to the bathroom, I forgot how to get back to the suite.
It was tough. It was
humble
a big
brag,
confusing.
By the way, back to the suite.
Yeah, I caught that. Yeah.
Knocking up two of them today.
Fourth down.
And one four downs.
All right, Brown, we'll start with you on this one. If Tiger and Phil somehow find themselves paired together in the final group on Sunday, is it the most anticipated round of a major in history?
Yeah, I can't imagine one that would top that. I mean, you've got Tiger's return. That's going to be big enough. He and Phil together, which we've never gotten enough of over the years of those two being on tour at the same time, and the knowledge that it could be either one of them, their last real good shot at a major, yeah, I mean, I would imagine you set TV ratings for that one, TV ratings records for a Masters.
I read an article this morning, and it was talking about the top 10 storylines going into Augusta, and number one was Tiger Woods.
Yep. Yeah.
Number two, and I guess this is Ken of Ryan Brown, I actually wrote the article, said Phil Mickelson's 50. In reality, he's 47, but that was the second storyline.
So, late 40s. Yeah,
these guys were paired up. I can't even imagine how anticipated it would be.
You're not going to bring late 40s back up again.
Well, I mean, he's 47. That's late 40s.
Okay. Tremendous is the answer. And I don't try to beat Brown to golf punches much on the show here, but today is a big practice round day in Augusta, and guess who's playing together?
Right.
Yeah. Tiger and Phil.
I tweeted this last night.
Yeah, Tiger and Phil.
Yeah, you didn't beat him to the
punch.
I tweeted it 13 hours ago.
13.
Does Brown get paid to do tweet?
No.
Twitter?
Well, that's part of our job.
No, he does.
It's part of the package.
He gets paid to do
show
radio.
Prep. Show prep.
So 42 minutes in.
Yeah. Tiger, Phil, Freddie Couples, and Thomas Peters. You think Thomas Peters is the outlier in that group? Everybody's like, who's this other cat?
Is it Thomas or Tomas?
Tomas or Thomas, either one. Depends on where you are.
Yeah, is it Grand or
Well, Grand your boy Freddie Couples called him out. He was like, me and Peters are just going to be watching.
Yeah, Peters like, I still think, got game, Peters, Freddie.
Yeah, I can win this thing.
I'm not some senior tour player.
Somewhere Wimp is like giggling, me and Peters, we're just going to be watching.
So this was kind of difficult to do, but here's what I tried to do, guys. So follow me here. I tried to use... What are you laughing at?
It was difficult to do. It makes it sound like we were doing laboratory work yesterday.
Yes, it was difficult to do. So what I did was I tried to use teams that have a like history in basketball and football. So their histories are kind of alike, and they're kind of in the same place, their basketball program, their football program right now. So I tried to match history and where they currently are. So you tell me which happens first. This team wins a basketball championship, or their like team wins a football national championship. Georgia wins a basketball national championship, or Kansas State wins a football. Which one would you bet on?
Georgia wins football.
Okay. Lance, it's Georgia in basketball, Kansas State in football.
Kansas State football.
Okay. I'm going to say Georgia in basketball.
I go K-State football.
Really? You feel better about Kansas? They seem a long way away. Not that Georgia seems
particularly close. The only thing I would say is Kansas State's at least been in the conversation twice in 20 years, and we've never seen that with Georgia.
Yeah.
Didn't Dominique get them close?
I mean, they've been to a Final Four.
I mean, that was almost 40 years ago.
LSU, who's been to two Final Fours, right? LSU wins a national championship in basketball. Or Michigan State wins one in football?
LSU basketball.
Really?
I mean, they're going
to be... Michigan State has recently been to the...
I just saw way too early top 25, and I agree. Tremont Waters, Will Wade, the way he's got this program, they've got him going in the right direction, and LSU basketball has been very relevant in the past.
I too, will take LSU basketball. Heavy SEC basketball so far. I think LSU basketball has a better chance of winning a national championship before Michigan State football.
Clemson basketball... versus Nebraska football. Now, keep in mind, this Clemson team was highly ranked, but they've got almost no tournament history to speak of, and I do think that's important. Nebraska's got a great history to speak of, but they've been a long way off, and they've got a hot new coach. So Clemson basketball, Nebraska football, you'd bet on which one?
I even think when Nebraska gets back in football, they're going to be a lot like Michigan State. I wonder if it resonates when you get to the playoffs. Michigan State, when they get there under D'Antoni, D'Antonio doesn't seem to be, you know, at the same type of player as Alabama, as Georgia, as Clemson, as Florida State when they won it. What will Nebraska look like athlete-wise when Scott Frost rebuilds them?
Yeah, I think Nebraska's got such a long journey. Brad Brownell did a really good job with this Clemson team. They're really physical. You're not going to have a lot of one-and-dones with Clemson. And it was a team this year that if Kansas wasn't hitting those threes, they had a chance to go to the Elite Eight. So I think they're a lot closer right now. So I would lean, again, far-fetched on almost all of these, Brown, but I would go Clemson.
Can I stop and make a quick observation here?
The basketball national championship, I fear, is harder to win, but yeah. I would go Clemson as well.
Your confidence level on Mike D'Antoni and Mark D'Antonio is at an all-time low right now.
It is, yes.
Because you did it yesterday when we were talking about Mike D'Antoni
right.
coaching the Houston Rockets
and
Mark D'Antonio coaching Michigan yep. State. Your confidence level on that one right now is as low as I've ever seen a confidence level for you.
You know why?
Why?
Because it was in the prompter wrong once, and I can't trust it anymore.
I'll give you a kind of a crutch okay. on Mike D'Antoni, the Houston Rockets coach. It's three first names.
Mike D'Antoni.
Just remember that. It really is.
Yeah.
So just think about it like that. The Houston Rockets head coach is three first names. Mike D'Antoni. That's it.
It's a pretty good
crutch. I think that will help you.
Salespeople have the unbelievable way of remembering names.
Which happens first? Florida State. This is a Jeff from Aniston topic. I just realized this. Which happens first? Florida State wins a championship in basketball or Arizona wins one in football?
We go Florida State in basketball.
Again, that's an Elite Eight team. But
I posed this question on Twitter last night. If Jordan Poole doesn't hit that shot for Michigan, who's playing last night?
I know. There's really no way of knowing, obviously.
Can't figure that out, but yeah. Florida State would have had as good of a shot as anyone.
Could you imagine that, Florida State?
Well, it wouldn't have mattered.
Kansas in basketball or Penn State in football?
Kansas in basketball?
Yeah.
Yeah, Kansas in basketball.
Kansas in basketball or Penn State in football?
Kansas in basketball. Easy.
I'm going to say Kansas in basketball, but...
Penn
State in football is really good this year, but
I don't think Franklin will ever win one.
You don't think Franklin will ever win a national championship?
He'll have him in the mix. He's already got him in the mix.
I mean, you guys seem to doubt Bill Self will ever win another one.
Well, no, I was just, we jumped up in quality of teams there. Sure. We crossed the equator.
They're still like teams.
Yeah.
Texas Tech in basketball, Virginia Tech in football.
Texas Tech basketball. I like Chris Beard a lot.
Boy, that is a long road, man, from Lubbock, Texas.
Again, they were just in the Elite Eight, fellas.
I know. But you still got to win two more games. That's what we always talk about.
I know. It's more difficult to do, and I can't believe I'm going basketball on most of these.
You have gone very basketball heavy.
Do they throw tortillas at the basketball games?
I don't
know
that. They do in football, though.
I'm going to take Virginia Tech football on this one. That'll be my first football selection.
Okay. Let's get in state here. I struggled with Auburn for a like team. But when you look at the history of their basketball program versus this team's football history, but Auburn's basketball, ESPN's put them in the top five. And they're 30-1, apparently, so I'm off on this comparison, so I need to change my comparison. But initially, I had Auburn basketball versus Northwestern football.
Oh, my.
Just because of their histories. Wait, Dunaway, you say, oh, my, Auburn's been to one Elite Eight in 100 years of basketball.
I know.
It's not like they've ever been close.
I'm still going to play Bruce Pearl on this one. I like Fitzgerald a lot. Yeah. I think he's done a great job at Northwestern, but Northwestern to win a football championship just seems... outlandish.
As Austin will tell you on Twitter, this is a new world we live in today, Brown. Auburn's a number five team in the preseason basketball rankings.
I mean,
you would need to go Ohio State for me on the other side.
Are you
kidding? I'm kidding.
Okay, you are kidding.
I am kidding, yes. But I'm going to take Auburn basketball before Northwestern.
And finally, Alabama basketball or West Virginia football?
I'm going to take Alabama basketball.
I'll go West Virginia football.
Yeah, I thought that was easier than the Auburn one.
Yeah.
I'd go West Virginia football easy over Alabama basketball.
Everything broke right for West Virginia. They could win the Big 12 this year. You win the Big 12, you never know.
You never know. Masters week over in Augusta. Justin Thomas, who, by the way, tweeted out his Ralph Lauren polo wardrobe for the weekend. He's sponsored by them, and they give him specialty outfits. And before every major, he puts out on social media what he's going to be wearing, and I made a point, Brown, that on Sunday he's going to have canary yellow pants and a blue top, which goes very well with a green jacket. I mean, do you plan your wardrobe
out?
You
have to.
I want to tell you, though, canary yellow pants don't go well with mud on the back. People are going to think that you know.
Oh, I see.
He's got Montezuma's revenge or something because it's. I mean, the weather is a little spotty.
Yeah, it's
going to
be
not?
Dicey over the weekend. There's no doubt. With the weekend's going to be tricky.
With that in mind, the changing betting odds from the Las Vegas Superbook has a three-way tie for the favorites in this week's Masters. Justin Thomas is one of those at 10-1. DJ, Dustin Johnson, and Jordan Spieth all at 10-1.
Well, Spieth played better in Houston over the weekend. His issue is still his putter, and that's normally his strength, but he has been really bad inside of 5 to 8 feet. Which
easy greens in Augusta, right?
No, I mean, if you're not putting well, it will show up at Augusta. So
if it is a rain-soaked weekend, as the forecast looks like it'll be Saturday and Sunday, that slows those greens down. They cannot keep them fast, can they?
Yeah. I mean, they'll still be plenty fast.
Okay.
The thing the rain helps is it'll soften them enough you can keep the ball close.
On your approach shot.
Yeah, on your approach shot.
I guess that's what I'm trying to ask.
Yeah, the greens will not be that much slower. I mean, they'll still be lightning fast. But Spieth at 10-1, Dustin Johnson at 10-1, Justin Thomas at 10-1. Rory, who has played very well of late, 12-1. Tiger is down to 12-1. He will not go off as the favorite in this Masters.
Shit, what is he, 143rd in the world?
But that's not reflective of what he's doing right now.
Well, I think this is more so where the money is.
Justin Rose is 12-1 as well. Plays Augusta very well. Lost in a playoff to Sergio last year. Has been playing well.
Yeah, is there anybody that play outside of Jordan Spieth that plays Augusta as well as Justin Rose?
There's a couple guys, but Rose is just one of those guys that is. I mean, I'd have to go back and look at his
I mean, I've got
record.
It right here. I mean, it's top 10 every single year.
It's insane, and he could have easily won that thing last year. But yeah, I mean, Rosie is a guy that has been tremendous at Augusta. You look at,
I mean, he tied for second in 15, tied for 10th in 16, and then last year he should have won it.
Yeah, he finished second last year. He's got a tied for 8th, a tied for 5th in his history. He's in contention a lot. So those are your guys at 12-1. Ricky Fowler at 16-1. He played well in Houston last week and has played that course well historically. Phil Mickelson, who's won there 3 times, has a win this year but has taken some time off since that win, at 16-1, with Bubba at 16-1, who's won twice this year and has won twice at Augusta. Jason Day, who's played Augusta about as well as anybody has played it over the last decade, still doesn't have a green jacket at 18-1. That's an amazing name at 18-1.
Yeah, maybe the best golfer in his time at Augusta not to win one.
It's
right?
Either him, well, Rory hasn't. You'd probably have to say Rory is that guy.
Yeah, because Rory gets Grand Slam with a green jacket.
He's got a career Grand Slam. Probably McIlroy is the best guy in this time that hasn't won one, but Day is in the discussion.
But I'm talking about the way he plays Augusta. Hasn't Rory had some tremendous meltdowns there?
But he had one where he should have won the tournament and had a meltdown on the back nine, but he plays that course very, very well.
What do you make of Rahm at 20-1? Not betting-wise, but for him on this course, because he's a heavy... He's a long ball hitter, right?
Yeah, he is. I mean, all those guys hit it so long. He's a really emotional guy.
He's a head case.
He can be. It seems that way. And he's tried to kind of rein that in.
Here's the thing to remember. Rahm has never finished higher than 23rd at any major.
Yeah.
There's Sergio at 30-1, and you just never go back
so
to
tough.
Back, right?
Yeah, I mean, it is so tough to do there.
Rinaldi did an amazing piece on Nick Saban and Justin Thomas, their friendship. To show you just how much Nick Saban, if you're looking for a release, he loves golf. He just loves golf. And you see it in this story. And Justin Thomas, and you can see this at ESPN.com, and I tweeted it out yesterday. But in the story from Rinaldi, Justin Thomas talks about being recruited to Alabama to play golf. And his recruiting visit on campus was for the Alabama-LSU football game. And before the game, Nick Saban spent like 45 minutes with him on his recruiting visit. And Justin says in the piece, I kept thinking to myself, man, you're playing top 5 LSU in a few hours. Shouldn't you be doing something else except sitting here talking to me? And then Saban points out, it was great to talk to him and do something else to realize that there is something else going on outside the world other than what is going to happen here inside the stadium in a few hours. And they have developed a friendship that was pretty unique. It's worth a watch to go see Justin Thomas and Nick Saban in their friendship. And he said he was just going to leave Saban a message right after Tua's pass to win the national championship. And it was one of those, I called right after the game, was expecting to get his voicemail, just leave him a message. He picks up on the second ring.
Justin Thomas is playing like one of the top 3-4 golfers in the world. Doesn't necessarily have the name recognition of a Rory or a Spieth right now. Would you agree with that, Brown?
Well, he's almost number one in the world, right?
No, I get that. I mean, I think people in golf circles know that. But what I'm saying is, if he continues to win at this rate, do you think it ultimately can help recruiting for Alabama? Not that Alabama needs help recruiting.
In football?
Well, I'm just talking about you've got a guy like Justin Thomas that's kind of in the mix there. And
maybe so. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it ever hurts. The bigger names you've got out there repping your school, I don't think it ever hurts.
Just good image.
Yeah, it's just good image.
The Big Ten missed another opportunity last night to grab a national championship. I don't know if it was Dennis Dodd or who it was last night during the game that made the point that Michigan in the last so many years. Oh, here it is. It was actually our buddy Clay Travis coming up. Since 1948, Michigan has exactly 1.5 national titles in football and men's basketball. For all the attention Michigan athletics gets, isn't that a lack of title success stunning? We'll talk to Clay in 30 minutes. But
yeah, that's another story that we can get into, just Michigan isolated. But if we're talking about conferences, and really we can take this a little deeper, we can make it two of the Power 5 conferences, the Big Ten along with the Pac-12, but just starting in the Big Ten, this is pretty amazing. Just reading straight here, since the Big Ten last won a national championship in 2000 with Michigan State, the ACC has won 7 titles.
The ACC.
With Villanova's win, the Big East now has 6 titles since they last won a national championship. The SEC has 3. The American with UConn has 1. The Big 12 has 1 with Kansas. And the Big 10 and the Pac-12 sitting with 0 apiece since 2000. But that's amazing when you think about Duke has won 3, UNC's won 3, Maryland's won 1. The Big East, UConn was formerly in the Big East. They won 2, Villanova's won 2, Syracuse won 1, and Louisville won 1 as well.
What do you make of, in the Power Fives, the lack of championship production from the Pac-12 and the Big Ten?
Well, if we start with the Big Ten just in basketball, I think it's we've been really close. I mean, they've been a runner-up 7 times over those years. You know, I go back to Wisconsin 3 years ago. I thought they were the best team in basketball. They beat Kentucky. They lose in the national championship game to Duke.
Izzo's had some Final Four teams, some that were not quality Final Four teams that he, you know, willed them there, but some were good enough to be national champions. He has just won.
You know, this Michigan team, to me, wasn't John Beilein's best. I think his best was in 2013 where they lose a tight game to Louisville. Indiana had a chance in 2002 against Maryland. They lose there. Illinois was actually favored over Carolina in 2005. In a battle of one seeds, they came up short. So they've been really close. It's just they can't get over the hump. And I think it's really glaring when you're talking about such a prideful conference that beats their chest and they believe they're the best when it comes to athletics. And to not have one since 2000, Brown's a big deal.
Here's what I wonder about the Pac-12. You asked this question, Dunaway. It seems like it is, and I don't have the numbers in front of me to back this up. I'm just going on Phil here. It seems like it is easier for the East Coast and Southern teams, and even the Midwest teams, to go to the Pacific 12 footprint and get players in football and basketball than it is for the West Coast teams to come East and get players. Do you guys get that same feeling? Like, it feels like it's way easier for Nick Saban or John Calipari to go get a player from California than it is for David Shaw or Steve Alford to come to the Deep South and get a player. That just seems easier to me.
I think a lot of that is exposure.
And that's what I was going to ask, because the Pac-12 would tell you, well, it's our TV deal. You know, there's an East Coast bias in the games that are selected. We don't play the national games a lot. We're the, you know, Pac-12 After Dark on ESPN, which has kind of become a running punchline. But the reason it's a punchline is people are joking about the fact that you got to stay up way late just to see the Pac-12 games.
I'm sure this isn't the case, but it almost makes Pac-12 look lazy because it doesn't even seem they're in the mix for a lot of these athletes.
I think also it's atmosphere of the games, too. And think about it. If you're an elite athlete and you want to play college football or college basketball, think of the venues out in the Pac-12.
Well, let's just start with, I mean, what is the alpha of the Pac-12?
When it comes to
football, USC.
USC is the brand name, and the atmosphere is good. No. Oregon's home field and Washington's home
field. That's good. Yeah, those
are good. Really good.
But you go to USC, you go to a game at the Coliseum, and you've got, I mean, look, and there's a couple of streets you walk down and you see some interesting things, but it's really an archaic stadium. They're doing renovations right now. They're finally going to have suites in the next 2 years. But it's just, it's so massive and there's nobody there. There's really not a good game day feel. So if you went to a game day at USC being recruited and then went to Athens, Baton Rouge.
No comparison, is it?
I mean, there's no way you can sell somebody on that.
Yeah. Or Clemson, you factor in the ACC powers
Florida
as
State.
Well. And, you know, Oregon and Washington are good. You have that at USC. But now in basketball, you know, what was once the Great Poly Pavilion, you know, that rarely... I mean, I watch a lot of UCLA games late night, and it's a half empty arena. I don't know what has happened to the UCLA basketball fan.
And I don't know how much an 18-year-old... At 18, we have different priorities.
Right.
Like, at 18, the cold weather didn't bother me nearly as much as it does now. So to recruit a kid and say, look, we've got perfect weather in Southern California, how much does that really mean to an 18-year-old? I think it factors in a little bit. But I think there's other things that are much more important. Now, when you get older in life, a 35-year-old for perfect weather, then, you know, that seems like a bigger priority.
Yeah, this is not the recruitment of Hakeem Olajuwon anymore, who picked Houston because it was the best atmosphere, it was the best climate. Like, he was considering, wasn't it Louisville, and there was another East Coast team he was considering in Houston, and he flies in, and he's like, the only place I feel comfortable is in Houston.
Yeah, I don't know about you
guys.
The
rest of these places are frigid.
I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. We've all heard that mortgage interest rates have started to rise, but I'm not here to scare you like those other banks and mortgage companies. I'm still locking loans in, saving people thousands of dollars a month. TheHomeLoanExpert.com.
The Home Loan Expert, LLC.